910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. The Pentagon announcing a tactical move, more military might on the way to the Middle East from the U.S.
The Pentagon moving a guided missile submarine, the USS Georgia, to the Middle East. The location of that sub, armed with cruise missiles, normally top secret. And by also speeding up the redeployment of an additional aircraft carrier to the region, the U.S. upping its message of deterrence, telling Iran and its proxies to back down.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge. Analysts say the Pentagon announcing a military move before it happens is rare. A trove of police body cam video, officer text messages, and 911 calls released over the weekend in the Uvalde, Texas school massacre investigation, most of it confirming police confusion, chaos, and a deadly delay in getting to the 19 students and two teachers as they were being killed. A new study on cancer and deaths in men, the rates of cancer expected to increase by 84% by the year 2050, and deaths by more than 93%. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tomorrow is primary election day in Wisconsin. One of the races to watch is the Republican primary in the 8th Congressional District, where Donald Trump is endorsing Tony Weed.
This race is all about how important is the Trump endorsement in a primary in Wisconsin, especially in the Green Bay area.
WIS Politics editor J.R. Ross says Roger Roth and his supporters can afford a lot of TV ads while Andre Jacques is busy campaigning door to door.
What wins out? Air power, the Trump endorsement, or this kind of credibility that Andre Jacques has?
Ross speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. Wisconsin wildlife officials expect more deer in the woods this fall. The Department of Natural Resources released its annual deer forecast last week. Mild weather last winter helped more fawns survive the cold weather months. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Rice Lake native Kenny Bednarik's Olympics are over, with one silver medal coming back to Northwest Wisconsin. Bednarik raced in the 100, 200, and 4x100 meter events at the Paris Olympics, winning the silver medal in the 200 meter dash. He finished 7th in the finals heat of the 100 meter dash, and on Friday, the Team USA 4x100 meter team was disqualified after a bad handoff between Bednarik and Christian Coleman. The Canadian team took the gold medal in the 4x100 meter. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation and Governor Tony Evers have announced $174 million in state funding for road projects over the next 5 years. The funding will be distributed through the Local Roads Improvement Program, a reimbursement program that can cover up to half the cost of improving deteriorating roads. Wisconsin will also receive $200 million from the bipartisan infrastructure law to fund more than 150 projects improving the state's roads and bridges. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Pack is back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Browns 23-10 over the weekend. At halftime, Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley challenged his players they needed to make a turnover in the second half. Rookie safety Evan Williams out of Oregon did just that, coming up with a forced fumble early in the third quarter.
Yeah, it felt great. Really just play fast, use our instincts, and yeah, just fly around. I mean, that's what I had the most fun with today. I felt like fly around, and you know, and coach always preaches that. Just the jobs aren't that difficult. Run to the ball and just do your job, we're going to be successful.
Baseball. The Brewers open an important series tonight against the Dodgers, LA in first place in the NL West. The Brewers losing 4-3 to the Reds Sunday, but D.L. Hall was back on the mound. Pat Murphy?
Yeah, I think since he's been a starting pitcher, I think he's become more of a complete pitcher, and that's kind of cool. He's really become a pitcher.
Now, if the Brewers just go .500 for the rest of the schedule, they would finish with 90 wins this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny today. Highs in the upper 70s. Chance of a shower or thunderstorm midday to early afternoon. For tonight, slight chance of a thunderstorm. Lows around 53. A sprinkle or a light shower on Tuesday. Otherwise mostly sunny and highs near 80.
It's 64 at our studios.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day... Go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down on the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom will be back. Harrison Walls will be done with their cross-country swing state tour. And we'll talk about it on The Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very, very busy Monday show for you today. Retired Rear Admiral Joe Seestack is going to be joining us at 10:33 after the 10:30 news. He is with an organization called National Security Leaders for America, and we have been talking to one of their members just about every month for the last 4 months. And we're going to be focusing with retired Rear Admiral Seestack on Project 2025 and what that would do to the military and what that would translate down to mean for us.
Yeah.
Just as regular citizens.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope you will stick around for that conversation. It should be very, very interesting. And then at 11:33, Session Chetta is with the Office of the State Superintendent. Big surprise, the legislature is still sitting on money that is supposed to be going out for this new reading program.
Mm-hmm.
School starts soon.
Very soon.
And yet that money has not been spent.
What?
I know.
Speaking of money being spent, today is election day, too. Oh, tomorrow's election.
Tomorrow's election
day. My goodness. I voted already, so it doesn't matter.
That's right. You voted early. That's good. I'm going to be voting tomorrow.
Yeah, you are.
Very, very important primary election, no matter where you are in Wisconsin. There are two state constitutional amendments that will change the state constitution and essentially take the power of the purse when it comes to federal emergency dollars. Take that away from the governor's office and give it to the legislature because they don't have enough power, especially over how money gets spent or when it gets spent, if it ever gets spent.
Mm-hmm.
Vote no.
Vote no. Yeah. I mean,
I think that would be a good idea.
If you hear people talking about give the governor a slush fund, it's a lie. That's a lie. There's no, it's a lie. I would say the best way of putting it was a gentleman named Kid Riles on Twitter said this regarding tomorrow's constitutional amendment questions. Think of it this way. Do you want Robin Voss, who represents one of 99 districts and has an approval rating of 16%, to be in charge of all federal dollars we receive? Do you want that?
It's a really good way to put
it. That's a great way of putting it, honestly.
It absolutely is.
Yep.
And when you consider that when we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic, and Governor Evers got these emergency federal dollars.
Yeah.
What did our Republican-led legislature do?
They took that little hammer. They gaveled it once. They said, we're here. Gaveled it twice. We're done. And they walked away.
And they walked away for months.
And thousands of people in Wisconsin died from COVID.
Yes. So just keep that in mind. Make sure you vote.
Mm-hmm.
Myvote.wi.gov. There are voter purges happening in some states across the country, including in Texas, I've recently read, and in Florida. Make sure you are still registered. Make sure you haven't been bumped off the voter rolls, and then you have an unpleasant surprise tomorrow if you go to your polling station. You can't cast a ballot.
Yes.
Myvote.wi.gov, and then get out and vote tomorrow. Be a voter, baby.
It's cool.
It's cool.
Calvin, are you a voter?
I will be after work tomorrow.
Yeah, excellent. You will. We're excellent. All cool.
Yes, that's right. Be a voter. It's a good thing to do. I really wanted to start with this because, again, people have lives and are not nearly as obsessed with politics as I am. But I spent Friday night watching Donald Trump's rally in Montana.
You're doing okay now?
Yeah, I think I finally shook off the effects from that. And I also, was it on Thursday that she was in Michigan or Wednesday when she was in Michigan?
That was Thursday, I believe.
Thursday when she was in Michigan. I watched that rally.
Yeah.
Also, I watched it live.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people there.
Were there, though, Jane?
That's what popped up over the weekend.
Yeah.
Saturday evening, always reliable Dinesh D'Souza.
Good old 2,000 mules.
Yep, 2,000 mules, which had to be pulled. The actual distributor of the film pulled it because it's based on lies.
Yeah.
So 2,000 mules, you can't watch it anymore because it was pulled because it's based on lies. So highly reliable Dinesh D'Souza posted a photo on social media of Vice President Harris in Michigan exiting her airplane with a crowd of supporters watching. Two reflections from the plane were circled in red, trying to show that despite the crowd, there was no one in the reflection. Ooh.
I should have known. I should have asked Calvin to cue up the X-Files theme song.
So, by Sunday, former President Donald Trump, over at his failing platform, posted this, quote, "Has anyone noticed that Kamala cheated," all caps, "at the airport? There was nobody at the plane. She AI'd it and showed a massive crowd of so-called followers," in all caps, "but they didn't exist. She was turned in by a maintenance worker at the airport when he noticed the fake crowd picture, but there was nobody there, later confirmed by the reflection on the mirror-like finish on the vice presidential plane. She's a cheater." This man is seriously not well.
No, I agree.
I'm not joking.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is seriously unwell. And I haven't seen this covered nearly enough on some of the bigger outlets.
The same outlets that made it their bread and butter talking about Joseph Biden's mental acuity.
For 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
For 3.5 weeks.
How many, you said that you the New York Times posted how many articles about Joe Biden's age?
Oh my gosh, there were like 100.
Yeah, so... I was thinking about that this weekend, too, with regard to Donald Trump's health. I'm not even saying it in a sense of like, you know, he's not well enough to be the president. Like, I'm like, he's not well. Why is nobody helping him?
Oh, I think that's a very valid question.
And the whole AI thing has just been, and guess what? Caught on like wildfire. People have taken it in, digested it, and now that's their truth.
That's what they're spitting out. So there's a couple of things to point out here. Number one, there was no reflection of people in the plane because they're not allowed to stand right next to the plane when it's landing.
That happens at every airport. I don't know if you know this, but you're not allowed to stand near any plane when they're landing.
So the crowd is back a ways from the plane, depending upon where you look at these pictures. And there are a number of different angles.
Yeah.
And there were a number of media outlets there covering this live, which I watched. This is disturbing, and people should be genuinely disturbed that Donald Trump appears to have lost touch with reality.
Yeah. And I want to just, from a pure financial point of view, before you take in the idea that it was AI and that this is all like, you know, computer generated, AI is not great at that job. There was a picture that was going around of Donald Trump surrounded by beautiful black women. And people were like saying, you see, they don't want you to know that black people love Donald Trump too. Well, when you look closer, the face of Donald Trump is not the face. It's an AI generated. And there's another dead giveaway. The woman directly to his right has two thumbs and four other fingers. So if you can't generate that picture, just the picture, tell me how you AI generate a crowd
of about 15,000.
Exactly. Calvin?
Well, and just speaking about that picture of all the six women or whatever in this AI generated picture all look mysteriously like Beyonce as well.
Beyonce loves Trump.
George Conway.
Ah, yes.
No longer married to Kellyanne Conway. We can thank her for alternative facts. George Conway weighing in this morning on MSNBC about Donald Trump's seriously delusional claim that Kamala Harris did not have a big crowd in Michigan. Calvin, let's play clip number two, please.
As I've been yammering about for 5 or 6 years now, he's a deeply unwell man. He is a deeply psychologically disturbed individual. If he were a member of your family, you'd be taking him, you'd be staging an intervention and taking him in to a psychiatric hospital. And if Melania and Ivanka and Eric and Don Jr. care about their father, and I assume their father and husband, I assume they do, they would be doing that if they could. He is, as I've been saying, a narcissistic sociopath, a pathological narcissist, and a sociopath as defined by the American Psychiatric Association. And these are, historians will tell you, the traits of authoritarian dictators throughout history. And what we're seeing now is, as you put it, an implosion. And this, I believe, is what ultimately was always going to happen, the final implosion of Donald Trump. I mean, it's like Hitler, when Hitler was moving around divisions that didn't exist in the last 10 days of the war in the Führerbunker. I mean, he has completely lost it. This post is beyond question delusional. But it was also inevitable, because what's happening here is he realizes he's gotten under more pressure than ever, because he's not just running for the presidency, he's running for his freedom. He's going to go to jail if he does not win the presidency, and he can see that now. And that's why he's doubling down on the unreality. It's partly for self-soothing. Partly it's just because he can't help it. He's a pathological liar, being a sociopath. And what we're watching is, we're going to make fun of it because it helps provoke him into self-destruction, which is what the country needs. But it's actually very, very sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
It genuinely is sad. I feel badly that his family does not even appear to care.
Yeah.
And George Conway is not wrong that he's a pathological liar. In that press conference he had Friday, they fact-checked him. He told a lie. He told two lies a minute. There were 162 lies or misinformative points in that hour speech.
Yeah.
He can't stop himself.
No, he can't. And as I mentioned to you before, when this all started, the tongue was firmly placed in cheek, and you could see that he was kind of winking to the camera as he was trying. And this is like 2015.
Yeah, this is a while back.
You watch a speech from 2015, it's much more clear. It's almost fun for him because he's like, look at me, I'm getting the attention. This is a man who's been surrounded by sycophants, yes men, and a crowd of people who would literally die for him for the past 9 years. This does something to your brain, and this is what we're seeing now. And mashed together the fact that he's 78 years old. And don't get mad at me, he's 78. That's what happens when you get older.
855-752-4842. If you'd like to join the conversation, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to talk about minimum payments on credit cards. Now, those wily rascals at credit card companies make it pretty easy for us to pay our minimum payments. But are minimum payments good for us or good for them? Let's take the average American amount of credit card debt, $6,000, and the average APR, or interest, which is 22%. Now, if you pay that off at $200 a month, which is the general ballpark minimum payment, it's going to take more than 3.5 years and cost an extra $2,800 in interest payments. But if you ignore the minimums and pay it off at $400 a month, you'll pay your debt off 2 years faster and $1,800 cheaper. Minimum payments keep you in maximum debt. For more practical money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Starting off the show today, talking about this just crazy, crazy post Donald Trump posted over the weekend after Kamala Harris and Tim Walz pulling some pretty decent crowds as were doing battleground states last week. And Donald Trump on Sunday posting that this was all AI generated when she was at her rally in Michigan. These aren't real people. This is all a lie. This is not a well man.
No,
this is not a well man. Tony on the live stream says, when you build a cult of personality, he can't be wrong, so he can't be helped.
Absolutely. I mean, my guess is that I wouldn't be surprised if his kids can't even get to him at this point.
I don't know that anyone could.
Yeah, but I mean, like, his inner circle is surrounded not even by his kids anymore. I mean, you know, at most, I'll give it Don Jr. is probably at his right side, but Don Jr. is swallowing the same tea.
Oh yeah,
Donald Trump Sr. is swallowing.
Oh, absolutely.
And we got a text from John in West Bend listening on WAUK, says maybe the Republicans are hoping Trump wins, then they will invoke the 25th Amendment and have Vance the puppet as POTUS. I do not like subscribing to conspiracy theories, but this is one that when we spoke to Andrew Watkins last week, something that she brought up with the idea that getting Trump in on his popularity, and then all of a sudden one day our dear leader, either the 25th Amendment or something worse, I'm suggesting neither, but then he's no longer able to serve. J.D. Vance is now our leader, and he gets, and that man will let anything go through.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Now, Andrew essentially said, for the authors of Project 2025, and don't let the Trump campaign try to tell you that they're not aligned with it, because they absolutely are. But all the architects behind Project 2025 need Trump in there.
Yeah.
To start. That's just the starting point. And once he's in there, mm-hmm. as you said, yeah, maybe they will call the 25th. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not all there.
No, he's not
all there.
And I really, really wish someone would be there for him. I'm not kidding. I'm not being funny. I wish someone would take care of him, because that's not fun to watch. I'm not having a good time watching him spiral out, because I have family who have shown the same sorts of mental inacuity, dementia, and it's not fun in private. It's not fun in public.
No, it's really not. Sherry, hi, friends. Unbelievable that he is so very sick and they don't even know or care. I just think, Sherry, that it's more about they want this agenda through, yeah. So they don't care.
Yeah, no.
That they really don't care in that way. He is their useful tool.
He's been
a means
to the end to get the Supreme Court flipped.
Yes,
to get the base fired up, to fracture it, to get exactly what they needed, which is a uninformed, ill-informed, rabid majority on their side, and him winning a second term is their final piece to get what they want to do. And then after that, they don't need him anymore.
No, they don't need him.
They can martyr him and say he's the great Donald Trump who served us and we should put his face on Mount Rushmore.
Which he's mentioned.
Yes.
He has mentioned that.
Yeah.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Love you guys, first off. I am a joyful democracy warrior. Because I don't believe in Project 2025. I believe in Coach Harris, and I believe in Coach Walz. One thing I think that is very, very great about our campaign is if you listen to the speeches, you hear Coach Walz and also Coach Harris talk about unions and retiring with dignity and building wealth for everybody. Paid leave, child care tax credits, health care, taxing the billionaire class, rent control, a woman's right to choose, gun safety, LGBTQ plus rights.
Yep, we absolutely love the message coming through, Tom. I mean, it makes us, once again, like you said, joyful
yep.
and excited.
And hopeful, absolutely. And we have a sound clip, too, Calvin, that I want you to play. This was from her rally, their rally, in Arizona that happened Tuesday. It's all a blur.
Yeah.
It was last week.
Lots of people.
There were lots of people there in Arizona as well. And this is the mayor of Mesa, Arizona. Mm-hmm. A Republican.
Yes.
Speaking at the Arizona rally for VP Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
The Republican Party has been taken over by extremists that are committed to forcing people in the center of the political spectrum out of the party. So I have something to say to those of us who are in the political middle. You don't owe a damn thing to that political party. In particular, you do not owe anything to a party that is out of touch and is hell-bent on taking our country backward. And by all means, you owe no displaced loyalty to a candidate that is morally and ethically bankrupt. So again, to all of us, I would say, in the spirit of the great Senator John McCain, please join me in putting country over party and stopping Donald Trump and protecting the rule of law, protecting our Constitution, and protecting the democracy of this great country. That is why I'm standing with Vice President Harris and Governor Walz.
Republican mayor of Mesa, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
last week at the Harris-Walz rally in Arizona, I think that invitation is going to spread.
I completely agree. You know, I think I asked the question a couple of weeks ago, you know, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, you know, Michael Steele, you have all these Republicans who are now on the sidelines. They're not in voted power. They're not elected. When would an elected official in the GOP finally say something? And I think all you need is one person to say something, and then you start to see the dominoes drop, and you'll start to see other mayors. And there's a former governor of New Jersey who's come out in favor of Harris, who's a Republican. But once again, I want to see more elected officials
exactly
saying don't reject your party. You don't have to change your politics. Just reject what Trumpism is. I do not lose hope that you can pull Trumpism out of the GOP and get somewhere someday. And it's up to you who are elected to do that work. So thank you, Mayor, and thank you for speaking up.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
If you're thinking the same thoughts, you are not alone, mm-hmm. and you don't have to go along.
No, you don't.
You really don't.
And you don't have to be in secret either. The people who are like, I love your show.
That's okay.
It's okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
Say it from the rooftops.
No, I really...
Really?
If you're a little blue dot in a big red sea...
No, I'm talking about the little red dots who are afraid to tell us, because that's what I'm talking about. No, well, the blue dots, I get that.
Well, that's okay.
Okay.
But you can whisper it.
Yeah. I love your show. Doing good work.
Thank you. News is coming up next. When we return, retired Rear Admiral Joe Seestack is going to be joining us. Stay close. We're going to be talking about Project 2025. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Communities appear to be slow to apply for money to fix up rural roads. The Wisconsin Agricultural Road Improvement Program aims to fix roads damaged by heavy agricultural and logging traffic. The program has given out $50 million this year, and the deadline to apply for the next round of $100 million is the end of September. There are new standards for meat to carry the USDA certified organic label, but farmers have until the end of 2028 to comply. Seth Milstein is a reporter for Sentient Media.
There are various procedures that were just flat out banned in the new standards. Tail docking of cows and gestation crates and farrowing cages for pigs or toe clipping chickens.
Milstein points out the standards affect only farmers who volunteer to have their products certified USDA organic. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Wisconsin man will set out on a walk from Superior to Lake Michigan this week. According to a Northern News Now report, Greg Studzinski is walking 500 miles from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan to raise awareness for people battling mental health and substance abuse issues. He's calling the walk the Lake to Lake 500 and anticipates it will take him nearly 20 days to complete. The walk will also serve as a fundraiser for a community center in Milwaukee that helps residents dealing with substance abuse and mental health problems. A Duluth Farmers Market will host Minnesota's National Farmers Market Week celebration. According to a Northern News Now report, the Lincoln Park Farmers Market was chosen to host the event, which members of the market say is a great honor. Officials from the Minnesota Farmers Market Association said they wanted to hold this year's event in the northern region after being in Winona and the Twin Cities. They also say they recognized the hard work that the Lincoln Park Farmers Market has put in to serve their community. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Bob Odenkirk and Bill Burr have been on their share of stages, but both will experience a first when they head to Broadway next spring. The actor-comedians will join Kieran Culkin on Broadway and Glengarry Glenn Ross. If you haven't seen the 1992 film written by David Mamet based on his play of the same title, it's worth a watch. The story is set in a cutthroat Chicago real estate office. Burr will be in the Dave Moss role, played by Ed Harris in the film. Culkin will play Richard Roma, who is portrayed by Al Pacino, and Odenkirk takes the role of Shelley Levine, the character played by Jack Lemmon. That's one to see. If Taylor Sheridan has writer's cramp, he is great at hiding it. He's written yet another Yellowstone spinoff that's headed to the little screen. The show Madison will star Michelle Pfeiffer as the female lead. She will also executive produce. Madison follows a New York City family as they adjust to life in the West. Rumors are that Kurt Russell will also join the cast. Madison's previous title was 2024. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A gorgeous day today with plenty of sunshine and high temperatures flirting with 80 degrees. Some spotty showers or storms may sneak in here this afternoon, but quickly leave. Tomorrow, bright, beautiful, and back to the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter? Then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. Pete Schwabba.
I'm on vacation this week, so for tonight's episode, we will bring you some of my favorite moments from previous Nightlight episodes. I'll be back and ready to light it up again on August 19th.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can also text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our next guest is a member of the organization called National Security Leaders for America. He has served six sea tours with units of the Atlantic and Pacific fleets. He was deployed seven times to Europe, the Persian Gulf, and the Western and South Pacific. We are so honored to have him here. Retired Rear Admiral Joe Seestack. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jane. Thanks for having me aboard.
We are so delighted to have you here. We have talked to a number of members of National Security Leaders for America over the last several months, because I think it's important that people understand that not every current or former member of the military is necessarily a Trump supporter. And that's kind of what National Security, well, we'll start with that. What brought you to National Security Leaders for America?
Well, I was in the Navy and I got out and my daughter had brain cancer. I ran for Congress and people used to ask me, why'd you change from an independent to become a Democrat? And I was running in a nearly 2-to-1 Republican district. I said, well, it's the military. They taught me. Everybody has excellent health care. Women get paid from day one, equal pay as men. And you stay in long, you get a career training for a lifetime that serves you well later on. And if you stay in long enough, you get a pension. I used to tell my district, everybody in the military is a Democrat. They just don't realize it.
Well, I think sometimes for some of our listeners that previous guests, there's this assumption that they're all crazy liberals and, you know, therefore they would not support the greatest president in our lifetime. And so tell us a little bit about your experience. You just mentioned that you were an independent, you switched to a Democrat, but you were in the military for a long time.
And I loved it. I wanted to be in there since third grade. And I truly just enjoyed it. And it wasn't the going to sea as much. It was that coming together as a crew. I mean, where you knew everybody had your back, and it was the camaraderie and all, but it was also something else. You really got to know about all Americans, particularly the working people, and that's our enlisted. You know, I mean, that's quite frankly why I'm really taken with Tim Walz as a vice president, Joe candidate. Why? Because, I mean, he didn't master the craft of political rising up through the streams. He actually mastered the craft of being a working man. I mean, he was three jobs.
Yep.
Three jobs. And then that's what our enlisted men do. When General Akhramayev came over from Russia, the Soviet Union, and Admiral Crow took him around, aircraft carrier, army installations. At the end of it, he said, Marshal, because he was the highest ranking general they had. What most impressed you about America? He said, you're enlisted men.
Wow.
We don't have them. I got to tell you, Crowell then explained when he talked about it, that those are the people who speak up and tell you like it is. Now, that might seem small, but I can tell you times where one of those young men and women of America, the working people, grabbed my elbow one time, and he had told me to take a come hard right. I kept going. He grabbed it and said, Captain, actually, he commanded me, turn right now. I put that in the military, I've got great faith in the people of America. I mean, they come from all over. Oh, today, if you look at the statistics, about 42% come from about five states, all in the South.
Yeah.
We need to get that more broad to make sure. But I think that's where you learn. My biggest experience, you had a lot of great times. Went to war, did that. I mean, I commanded carry a battle group and all in a war. But I got to tell you, it was the people I was most taken with. And I do not say that lightly.
That just speaks very highly. It really does. And I can also appreciate, because of all your experience and all of your firsthand experience working with, as you said, the working people, when you got your first look at Project 2025, what was your impression after you slogged through the 953 pages of it?
You know, probably exactly what I told you. Here is that young enlisted man or woman that actually could feel free, as Admiral Krauss said, to speak their mind. not what someone else tries to tell you is the right way. And I think there's this, it just seems like there's a desire in this document for a codification of how you must think. So when you see them saying, well, you know, you got to take every regulation, every law that has the word abortion in it and remove it. I don't understand that. How can you say what words can or can't be used? I mean, that's kind of but it's there in Project 2025. My real concern, as I read it, though, three major ones. The first was international. We're at a pretty tenuous time right now. We have Russia in Europe. We have China in the Western Pacific. We have in the Middle East, we have Iran. And then there's that small little state that always is a little rascal, North Korea. And you have seen them over this past year or two slowly build a coalition. Right now, we are not the America superpower of the 50s where we were able all us. We need allies. When I arrived with my carrier battle group in the West, in the Persian, Indian Ocean to begin the strikes of our battle group against Afghanistan, I had 12 U.S. ships, but waiting there for me to join up with us was a larger armada of other nations that had come there to be with us. You know, they were there. Japan, for the first time, was outside the Sea of Japan since World War II with four ships. So I step back and say, our alliances, NATO, how we bind with North Korea, South Korea, how we stand firm with them, whether it's Taiwan or Ukraine, I'm worried, first and foremost, that understanding, that diplomacy first, backed by a strong deterrence of allies, we can't do it all ourselves, is what I'm my primary concern. The other two I'm happy to talk about, but that is first and foremost because of my background, what I'm concerned about.
Absolutely, because you've seen it firsthand and you know how diplomacy works and you know the importance of allies. And the whole suggestion from Donald Trump and a second Trump administration that they would consider leaving NATO would be like a big birthday gift for Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-il and all of these guys. That's like their biggest dream, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely right. They offer, and this is what is the most concerning, as you look at how our nation has become divided, of how we could have a commander-in-chief, a president, that can actually put down nations in Africa and call them nothing nations, or how they can reach over to Europe and brusquely treat them as though they're not equal. You know, we can't do this by ourselves. We need them. And that to me is the major concern. I can remember when, and it's kind of humorous, but I'll never forget. And this goes to people who don't think they're there for us. When the Italians were a little late sending their ship over, Minister of Defense sent a message out and he said, "We're coming. He's just deployed." And then he said, many people, and this was in a message, might think of us Italians as only lovers. But America has been struck because it was after 9/11, and we will be there for them. I'll never forget, and I know this is a story, but that's what sailors talk about to make a point. When I went with my wife, finally convinced someone to marry me at the age of 49. I claim it was too much seat time, but I'm not so sure. But in any case, went there and we're out there in southern France and wonderful place. Walk out in this little veranda on this lawn and look into the distance. And in the middle of this meadow in the twilight were about 300 people sitting in tuxedos, sitting in gowns in a field with an orchestra playing. And I went back inside. I said, "Can you tell me what's going on?" And he said, "Yes. Every year the village comes together and celebrates their liberation when the GIs came through."
Wow.
They haven't forgotten.
Wow.
And I think that's what we have to understand, that right now you've got an authoritarian world order that is arising, where they offer security and stability, just not freedoms. They say that democracy isn't giving you security and stability. I mean, look at times where we had the charge right up the White, up the Capitol. And they say, see, that wouldn't be permitted for us, as they say to leaders in Africa, which in the future is going to be one of the biggest economic markets for us. And so it is the economy right now today, when you have this intersection between geopolitics, technology, and global economies intersecting, every issue is a national security issue, whether it's making chips or whether it's making sure that we have the rights to a base in the Solomon Islands, not a security agreement, an economic agreement that China has with them in order to help us get to Taiwan if we need to.
If you're just tuning in right now, we are talking to retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak from National Security Leaders for America about the importance of, you know, our U.S. military staying in NATO and how Project 2025 can really pose a threat to both of them. And something you just brought up was the rise of the authoritarian model around the world. And one of the things that Donald Trump has done is made it seem okay that these leaders are around and they're good guys and, you know, I'm friends with them and I can take care of them. But, you know, the conversation I always try to have with people who buy that is these are leaders who are suppressing the thing that you are most critical about, which is retaining your freedom, living in a free country. If that happens here, those freedoms go away. Just because you side with dear leader doesn't mean one day that they decide you're not loyal enough for them. So it always seems weird to me that they can put aside freedoms for winning and having their guy in charge. And as a military person, I know that has to not be something that you see as what you fought for all those years in your service.
I think you're correct. It gets to my second point I'm concerned about. Alexander Hamilton said, we have nothing to fear from an independent judiciary branch. We have everything to fear if there is to be a union between the judiciary branch and either the legislative or executive branch. That is why every president has had the norm and accepted it, that there is a barrier between the Justice Department, really an arm of the justice system, and the White House. If you remove that, particularly if you say, I then am going to appoint somebody who I tell who to prosecute, who to investigate, and then to give the guys that it's okay, they appoint, because your person is in charge of the Justice Department, and you appoint someone there to then go and investigate as a special counsel under the guise of saying, look, we think that counterterrorism is a concern. Now, that could be where there is a movement that isn't violent, but troublesome. And all of a sudden, you begin to have an investigation for criminal intent, which all it needs is Justice Department to do an investigation is criminal intent. And then you're there looking at, I don't know, Black Lives Matter movement and all. Infringement upon freedom isn't just saying you can't say the word abortion in the law. It goes well beyond that, to where people are hindered because they do think, as in China, if I say something wrong about the government, I could be investigated.
Absolutely. We have a break coming up. We will be back with you if you can stay with us for one more break. Retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak is our guest. He's with National Security Leaders for America. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We'll keep on spending sunny days this way. We're gonna talk and laugh our time away. I feel it coming closer day by day. Life would be ecstasy. You and me endlessly.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Just a reminder, tomorrow is primary day. Two very important constitutional amendments are going to be on the ballot. No matter where you are in Wisconsin, these two constitutional amendments will essentially take more spending power away from the governor in emergency situations and give it to the legislature. Wisconsin's legislature has the distinction of being one of the least productive legislatures in the country.
Hey, be nice. They're on a 10-month vacation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to take stabs at them while they're away. But yes, so go tomorrow. Please vote. Be a voter. It's very, very important. Vote no.
Yep.
Just saying. All right. Our guest is retired Rear Admiral Joe Seestack. He is with the group that we've spoken to many times before, National Security Leaders for America. And we're talking about Project 2025. In my estimation, sir, I don't care what the Trump campaign says that they know nothing about Project 2025. I think that's baloney. And I think if he gets reelected, the architects behind this will begin to implement Project 2025 immediately. Now, what would that mean for politicizing our military? How exactly would that work?
Well, there's two ways to look at that, I think. One is, I think, of actually more concern. And that is, if the president of the United States decided that, to use the loophole in what's called posse comitatus, where it is forbidden that you can ever use your military to enforce civil laws and things, you just can't do it. Now, that we got to keep in mind, posse comitatus wasn't passed until after Grant left office, because Grant had used the federal troops to crush the Ku Klux Klan when they tried to rise up during the resurrection, restoration.
Yep.
Thank you. But when the new president came in, the Congress passed this so that federal troops couldn't be it. And posse means posse, like in the West, that now the sheriffs locally could raise people up to enforce the law. So it was actually to permit the Ku Klux Klan to rise again. Jim Crow laws is that's when it began. Today, we like it because, despite that beginning, because you can't use the military to all of a sudden like create martial law or anything. However, there's a big loophole called the Insurrection Act that for George Washington and Mezzi President, President Obama has used. And that Insurrection Acts permits you to use the military if there's rebellion, but also if to enforce federal law or like civil rights. That's what Eisenhower did. You know, Lyndon Baines Johnson used them for the march from Selma to Montgomery. It's had good use at times. However, what does that mean if someone says, I am going to use them in order, like they wanted to in Oregon, to have federal troops all of a sudden intervene out there to try to restore what it deemed undue protest. And so how violent are protests? What's the spectrum? I mean, and so that is where you begin to get concerned, could our military be misused? under that under the Insurrection Act. I mean, right now we kind of are doing it to some degree. There's something else, a third one called Title 32. And again, President Obama, President Biden, President Trump have all used it to say, we, the government, are going to pay for the federalization, not pay for you, state governor, to use your, because you're in charge of the National Guard on the borders to, quote, protect our borders. We've done that. But what's the next step after that? Because the Supreme Court made a decision back in the 1820s or 30s that if the president uses the military under the Insurrection Act, he cannot be held liable. It is official, much like the Supreme Court kind of said recently about it. And so this is a pretty interesting area right here. The second one is, and I'm asked this a lot, politicizing our military. And often people think, if you're given an illegal order, what would someone do at the top? I have to first say, I think that is the least of our concerns. Could it happen? Yes. We start right off as officers with civil military relations. It is ingrained in us. But that doesn't mean, we've had retired generals that have argued for using the military, such as General Flynn. And so there's nothing that says the president can't call back to active service those type of individuals. But can it also impede other things where, for example, 2025 says we must go through and stop Marxist leanings within any of the doctrines taught at our service academies? My gosh. I backpack through communist Eastern Europe as a young officer, through communist China the first year they opened it up to individual travel. You can tell I was a bachelor at the time. I should have been looking for somebody during that period of time. And man, I came back and I do remember the NIS, you know, you see them on television. Well, they're a lot tougher. I felt like I was guilty for going back to see where my father had emigrated from, you know, in Eastern Europe. No, but all of a sudden, not to know your adversary or whatever it is, understand something. I mean, where's the, you know, you want your officers to have understanding. So can it impede you? Yes. But we also have to think about something else. We can't go overboard the other way. And if I might, and perhaps some will disagree with me on this, I know the concern people often had about military people. Jane, you kind of alluded to it, how people think about us military. I can remember when up for the Sierra Club endorsement the first time, and I'm in a nearly 2-to-1 Republican district, so I thought I'm going to get the Sierra endorsement locally. Afterwards, one of the board members, when I didn't get it, said, you guys got to wait a while. This one gentleman says he's military, kind of a Vietnam age. Can we trust him? There's still that inkling. And I think that's important to keep in mind that when, in some of the services, when those protests were happening, they asked retired military in some of the services, if they were still working there, to raise their hand and take the oath of allegiance again. And I think there's a fine balance here. Should it be kept in mind? Yes, but I'm not as concerned.
Retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak with National Security Leaders for America has been our guest. Thank you so very much, sir, for your service and your insight and your time. It's greatly appreciated. Stay with us. News is next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll get you caught up on the weekend news and look ahead to the Tuesday primary day in Wisconsin. Be a voter. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch.
So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.